My name is Sid Elenick. This is Marcus, and you're listening to Fallen Hour Radio. How professional was that one? That was some good stuff.
An idiot.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
If you're not of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you're not welcome here.
In the middle of the night, ghosts try to talk to me.
It's interdimensional, so we are living in a multidimensional environment.
He's bending down, doing something. He says he sees a shadow. He turns around, and there's nobody there.
I want you to tell me whether you remember what happened to you when you died.
I went blind then. I had an hemorrhage and not been asleep. And I died in a chair in the corner downstairs.
How can we kill you, God?
By faith, God.
Welcome back to the podcast. As you know, my name is Sid Elenick. This is Marcus. You're listening to Fallen Hour Radio.
Literally just
So tonight's episode. Now, this one, like, seriously, I don't know exactly where we're going with this one because you have this whole idea in your head, but like like many geniuses out there.
Yeah. Keep going.
That's stupid. It's like you're... Okay, so I'll give you a lowdown on what Marcus does. We get an idea down, and Mark's like, let's do a podcast about this one. I'm like, okay. And we've never set this rule ever, but you have this rule in your head to where we have to reveal all of our secrets when we do the podcast. So if in case the next person's like,
yeah, I like doing that.
So
it's like an unwritten rule.
I literally have no idea what you want to do with this podcast, so proceed with the opening arguments.
Well, I really started looking into some strange things, like spooky things.
As always.
But what really kind of has been on my mind a lot lately is like ghosts, spirits, stuff like that.
Only because like Marcus is wearing his Zach Bagans Haunted Museum shirt.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
It's been on my mind lately. He's got his shirt on from Zach Bagans Museum.
Yeah. Which I was at, by the way, this past weekend.
It's so stupid that you can't record in there.
I know. I was like really hoping you could do that, but you can't. I mean, I got to take some pictures and stuff, but only in one room. That was it.
Is that all they allow?
Yeah.
Is and one picture one is, room?
No, one room where you can take all the pictures and videos you want. And then before you go into like the rest of the building, like the 30 rooms where all this stuff is, you have to shut your phones off. You can't just turn it on silent. You have to shut them off.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
And show them it's off.
Okay, so what is this episode entail?
I was always interested in the whole thing with Thomas Edison,
right?
With the spirit phone,
mm-hmm.
like that whole deal, and that just kind of trailed on to all these weird things that I started looking up, like ghosts of the living.
Okay,
like,
so
that was like a big one that I really wanted to touch on because that is just kind of that's really crazy.
Okay, so let's start with that one because okay. I think you talked to me a little bit about it, and I was like, I have no idea what this means.
Well, that is basically a, like it's almost like a theory, but it has a lot of there's a lot of accounts that kind of
that's not like other dimensions that are bleeding into ours.
No,
okay,
it's like we're all in one dimension, but it all kind of
your consciousness isn't going into other places and existing
like
there.
Basically, people are seeing past tense and future tense.
Oh, like residual. Things,
in
right?
The present, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'll give you one example. This is what really kind of captured my interest. There was this kid when he was, maybe he was around 10 years old. He walked into his kitchen and he saw somebody standing at the kitchen counter and turned around and looked at him. And he looked like he was doing something on the counter.
Right.
And he stopped and he stared at himself and then he ran away. You know, he kind of started running away. And he came and looked again, and that person literally disappeared.
What do you mean, stared at himself?
What?
You just said he stared at himself.
Yeah. He's seen this person in his kitchen.
Right.
and he looked like he was doing something on the counter, like he was making something. And he turned around and he looked at the little kid, standing there. And the little kid, you know, got freaked out, and then this person literally disappeared and he ran away.
That's kind of reminiscent of our grandma's experience in the hospital.
Yeah. But when that kid got older, I think he was around 18, he said that he was in the kitchen making a sandwich and he heard a noise and he turned around and looked and he saw himself standing in the kitchen looking at him when he was 10 years old.
Oh, God, that's disgusting. Like,
and he turned around to run and he started disappearing as he ran away.
Okay, so that puts you on a linear path. Like, no matter what you do in your life, you're going to end up in that exact position,
yeah, doing that thing. Almost like you're predestined.
Right.
Or either certain moments are predestined.
That kind of that conflicts with a whole lot of other theories, though. Yeah, like I know. All these. So we had this theory we especially wanted to get into. Did we ever cover the CERN?
No, we didn't. We kind of touched on it, but we didn't say too much on it.
Okay, so Marcus had this idea of let's cover like multi-dimensional theories.
Yeah.
And how that's possible that these things bleed into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we started studying the world's biggest science experiment done.
It's like we studied this stuff a long time ago. We just never got around yeah. to doing it because I wanted to tie this into the whole Mandela effect
thing. And that's why I thought we did it, because we researched it. We talked about it for hours.
But we never did an episode yeah, on it.
Because it's like, so if you sit with us, it's literally, like I was telling Mark, it's like we have to just set mics up in the house and just make them hot all the time and have some freaking cameras in the house all the damn yeah, time. Because every time we do something like this, we can literally, like when we sit and talk, we can literally put that into a podcast, because it's like, yeah. It's just like how we talk now.
Just put yeah, them. Almost some of them are like rehashed into the yeah. podcast.
So,
but not all of it.
We were talking about this CERN experiment, and you guys can Google it. It's CERN, right?
Yeah.
And it's these huge amounts of scientists, these top scientists in the world, and they have this world's largest experiment spanning 17 miles in radius.
Mm-hmm.
And all they do is pass particles through this massive tube.
Yeah.
17 miles, and these things go, geez, I don't know how many times in a second. And
did you ever hear the noise when it actually happens?
No.
It sounds so strange.
I don't want to go into too much into it because I don't want to get us into that podcast. Yeah. But this is basically what happened is they believe that in, I think it was like late 2000s, early, close to where we are now, mm-hmm. is they did this experiment where they had the God particle and another particle, I forget what it was, but they
clashed
yeah. those, and that's basically what they do at this facility.
That's what they were trying to do for so long, and it yeah. finally happened.
And what happened with their experiment was they concluded, or they're investigating further, that maybe there is other dimensions yeah. or other realities that aren't explored yet. Maybe yeah. possibly those scientists, now this is another theory, is there was actually a kid there,
mm-hmm.
and he says this is what he believes birthed the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Is when this huge experiment happened, they did the God particle, then all this other crap started bleeding into our reality.
Yeah.
And making the Mandela effect.
All of that ties together.
Right.
And this ties with that.
Okay, so
in a way. Now, you can tie it all together if you have the time.
Right.
And really want to research it and write it out. It all ties together.
So getting to your story about this kid meeting himself, mm-hmm. it kind of contradicts that theory
mm-hmm.
that all these other dimensions are bleeding into itself mm-hmm. and that this kid was on a linear path, and no matter what, he was always going to get to that point.
Unless that was just one path.
Right. And that was the thing, though. It's like we had this theory where we're trying to work out is that if you are, let's say you're going through your life and you have two decisions.
Yeah.
And those decisions, no matter, this is basically how life works anyways, but it's like, whatever, if you take the right turn, you're not going to veer back into this left part of your life.
Yeah.
This turn that you would have became to be, whatever. And once you go into this turn, this decision, then it births a whole new reality and yep. or it bleeds another reality into
There's
that.
There's a reality where you went left instead of right.
Right.
And that trails off into a whole different life.
So it's almost like
each
you're...
decision, even each time you had to make a decision, that spawns a whole new dimension or reality that you're in.
So it almost spawns another life you're already living in another reality.
Yeah.
And there's this whole theory of like, so we do the, now Joe Rogan, I know I watched him a lot and he talks about this with scientists, and the scientists put it was, we are doing this podcast, but you're a different host.
Yeah.
And you have a different co-host and realities, billions of other realities. Your video tech is a monster.
That just like...
And that's how he put it. It's like
way out of left field.
Right. It's like all these different tiny alterations to your world.
Yeah.
But that kind of, now that ghost sighting is like, it contradicts that whole theory. It's like, yeah, this kid was on a linear path and no matter what, he was always going to see himself.
Yeah, but the thing I was saying was that could be just one of the, just one path of all these different dimensions.
Right, it's one person.
Yeah.
His own reality.
All these different paths that he took, he just saw himself on that same path.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so proceed.
Which was a ghost of himself.
That's strange.
Yeah.
And we had
and there was like, I came across a lot of different stories like that.
And we have
and even Wheezy told us about one during the Halloween deal last year.
Right.
You can probably just drop that in really quick. So that was dropped in. All right.
Marcus puts all this pressure on me. It's like I got to go back and find that footage. So if it's not dropped in.
That was his fault.
Okay, so what did he say? What was like the, just so I have a reference to like go back and look at this
crap. You can probably just delete this. he was talking about somebody that was driving his truck and he saw a Native American throw a tomahawk
and it got
stuck in his truck.
Yes. It was a ghost, but it actually got stuck there. It was actual, yeah, it was bleed
stuck there.
It like the, his object bled into this reality. Yeah. It was like birthed into his.
Yeah, and he literally went off the road and I think he. Yeah, but then they had a story that somebody a long time ago in their family saw this big steel
thing
with these
bright
eyes, and he threw a tomahawk at it. So basically, it was these two timelines colliding.
That is so strange.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like, maybe that's what the ghost of the living is.
Right.
Is all of these, just these past tense, future tense, and present are just colliding.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure you're following along.
It's like a really frustrating theory, though. It's like, how does that happen? Because that means that everything that happens from here on out, no matter what,
yeah,
it's always predestined. It's already happened in a sense.
Yeah. Now, Thomas Edison, I told you to look into that.
Right. The spirit phone.
Yeah. He was kind of, you know, this, you know, the whole war between him and Tesla.
Yes.
That whole thing. And
I was always on Tesla's side, by the way, growing up.
Because Edison, I really this was Edison, like, he's a douchebag.
This was like before all this crap came about Tesla. It's like I studied Tesla in middle school. Before that, I was always reading his, they had these like school books where they had these picture books. And I was always interested in Tesla.
Yeah.
And then it came out like Tesla's an underrated scientist, and I was like, I didn't see that coming. Like, to me, he was already a freaking well-established scientist.
But yeah, like Edison was a total douchebag. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you really look into him, he was horrible, man. Like, he stole like a lot of people's ideas, or he would patent them.
Tesla invented the light bulb.
Yeah,
Tesla had a patent on the light bulb well before Edison even invented it.
Yeah, like a lot of these things that Edison was known for inventing, some of them were already made 17 years before.
Right.
And he just patented them. He patented them. I'm getting tongue-tied. Hold on, let me take a drink here. Go ahead and keep talking.
So, okay, really quickly, we had a, just to quickly put this in here, is like I knew this podcast is going to veer off course so many times because I don't have a clear thought yet. And you do that to me and it's like I have to go all these other directions. But Tesla had, they're saying that possibly this guy had, just to give you like a brief summarization of who this guy was and how mad scientist he was.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned before, where he had an earthquake machine and caused havoc inside of his basement.
Yeah. Like he collapsed the bridge.
Right, yeah, with his earthquake machine.
Yeah, and then they told him not to work it anymore, so he took it to his basement, and then he was messing with it, and he caused an earthquake. Like, he was
it's like, okay, I'm safe in my basement. Take this to a dark corner of my house and try it.
Yeah.
That's like Dr. Draken from Kim Possible's Earthquake Machine, where he makes Cocoa Moo. I don't know if you know what that means.
Never joke about Cocoa Moo.
Cocoa Moo?
Its uses are limitless. My Cocoa Moo! Have some Cocoa Moo. It's soothing.
Stop saying Cocoa Moo!
That's good Cocoa Moo! Ah!
As a reference, I'm
okay. So we had this theory of the last podcast with the Men in Black.
Yeah,
and we were thinking about, like, is it possible that these guys had cell phones?
Yeah,
and meanwhile, Tesla's inventing what he had a patent for is they think he had cell phone technology.
Yeah,
back then. So it's almost tying some of these,
like, everything that they were inventing, he was already way ahead of the game with something, right, he wanted to work on. So if you made the phone, he was already thinking of making it wireless,
and he had AC current, right?
Yeah,
whole thing,
AC current. And that's basically what kind of trumped Edison,
or trumped Trump.
Yeah, if you don't know about that, look it up. What was that? Baron
Trump. President Trump, his grandfather.
Yeah,
was involved with
the whole thing with the time travel and
Tesla.
Look up the episode. We already have it on here. Yeah. Just scroll back and you'll find it.
But yeah, that's a crazy one.
Anyway, he finally he bested him,
mm-hmm.
and Edison's idea was to come up with a spirit phone.
Mm-hmm.
So you can talk to, people that are on the other side. Now, he didn't necessarily, he put it out that he didn't believe in it, really. But he wanted to make this phone just in case, what he thought was everybody was filled with these, what he called life units.
Right.
And, when you die, these life units basically go into something else. They don't go to another world. They don't go to heaven. They don't go to hell. He believes they go into another person or another thing.
So he wasn't
on this earth.
He technically wasn't an atheist in sense then.
Yeah.
Like, he had a belief something happened after you died.
This is what he claimed. But if you look into his diary, there's a lot of stuff in there. Like, it makes it seem like he did believe in it.
Right.
So, which is like a big reason why he wanted to come up with this phone. Some people thought he was coming up with it sarcastically, trying to prove them wrong. But it came out in his diary that he actually believed in it.
So is there any, precursor or, any experience that he had in his life that caused him to make these machines that would contact the dead?
No, I don't think so. I didn't find anything.
So what was his whole deal about it then? Why did he want to reach out to the dead? You were saying this is a time where all this...
This is around the spiritual era.
Yeah, it's
all this was becoming big.
This is like Houdini's time, right? Yeah.
Like Houdini, later in Edison's life is when Houdini was,
right,
coming up and all that. And even, this was around the spiritual era. People were, using Ouija boards. That's when all this stuff started coming to be, or tarot cards and stuff like that. They were doing seances, and he didn't believe in it. He said it was basically bull.
Right.
He didn't believe that a Ouija board can contact the dead. Or tarot cards or this or that. He didn't believe in any of that. He wanted to prove it wrong. So he wanted to find something, basically invent something to talk to them, because he didn't believe that stuff actually worked. So he wanted to invent the spirit phone.
Where he can actually hear them.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you're saying.
But it was because he heard that Tesla was working on something like that. So he was trying to beat him to it.
Right. Okay, so Edison invented this later after Tesla, though, right?
It was around the same time. They're both trying to make these. So he came out publicly saying that, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm working on.
Okay.
And some people thought he was being sarcastic because he didn't believe in Ouija boards or anything like that. So they thought he was just mocking them. But he had a diary. And after he died, this diary was, you know, I think it was published, but they took that whole section out about the spirit phone.
Of Tesla?
No, of Edison. Edison,
okay.
And they literally just retranslated it. You know, it was when it was put out in the U.S., they had that whole section gone. It wasn't even in the diary. So this was literally just put out like in 2017.
Wow.
Somebody retranslated it and it was in there.
Whoa.
So it had everything about the spirit phone. It had like his, like all his, everything he wrote about how he believes in it and everything, and actually believes in contacting, you know, people. But he thought that it was like, basically you're contacting them, but they're not gone. They're not dead. You're contacting what was left over. Almost like what he called life units.
That's a strange
it's
way
weird.
To...
It's weird. It's weird, like, the way he kind of tries to describe it.
It's a strange it's way to strange. Think.
Yeah, it is.
It's like they're dead, but there's something left of what I believe he'd be their spirit, right?
Yeah.
Like residue.
Yeah, that's basically what he was kind of...
Okay.
How that's, he described it.
Yeah, that's strange.
He didn't think it was he didn't think it was like your full, you know, spirit walk in the earth. He thought like every little part of you spreads out and goes into something else.
Like trigger objects.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe that especially if you have limestone around, which is abundant, if you have certain woods around,
yeah,
that if you were killed in that area, or if you lived in that area, then it absorbs your energy.
Yeah. Like even like, you know, the whole thing with like what
water
you were talking about with all these stones and stuff, and how they, how some amplify paranormal activity.
Right.
Or, you know, stuff like that. He believed the same thing. He used like quartz and stuff when trying to build this machine.
Oh, he did use a crystal.
A lot of other stuff. Yeah, the crystals and stuff.
Yeah, strange.
Yeah. So he actually believed in this. Now, what he believed was they were at a different frequency. So he was trying to, like, you know, make this machine. And basically what I think that kind of spawned the spirit box, that
right.
idea. I think somebody took that idea and ran with it and invented the spirit box, trying to basically finish his invention. But at the same time, they didn't get it right because they're just cycling through these frequencies trying to hear something. And it was always said that they talk at a lower frequency.
Right.
And Clyde Lewis basically took that idea and kept lowering and lowering and lowering the frequency, trying to contact something.
He's like perfected this
thing. And he literally perfected the spirit phone and the spirit box.
So if you guys don't know who Clyde Lewis is, he has a radio show and he is on, I don't know, KXL or something like that. Anyways, it's called Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. And this guy is like, I listen to him, watch him all the freaking time. And this guy's like an idol of mine. And anyways, he now, upon like watching all his YouTube videos and stuff, because he has a YouTube channel too, is we found this thing that he has that he's created, and it's called the Black Cube.
Yeah.
And what?
It's literally a spirit box on steroids.
Yeah, it's crazy because there's this thing called a black satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like a myth, but they believe it's out there. And he believes that this black cube is bouncing radiation off of that satellite,
mm-hmm,
and able to contact not only spirits, but he's able to contact aliens in other dimensions.
I never saw that part. I just saw him trying to contact spirits and stuff.
Right.
And what is creepy is you don't hear it's cycling through frequencies like white noise, like spirit boxes. It's at a low frequency to the point where you don't hear any of
that. Yeah, it's quiet.
It's quiet. And he basically tuned in on what frequency that they speak at. And you just hear them answering. And it's so clear. It's just eerie.
Yeah, it's weird because
it's creepy.
There is nothing that comes through until you ask a question.
Yeah.
And then it responds to you.
Mm-hmm. Intelligently.
Yeah. And it's like there's no sound waves, there's no the whole thing.
You
it's
don't
just
hear no white noise.
It's silence, and then you ask it a question, and then it responds, and then it's loud enough.
Yeah,
you can hear it.
You can hear them talking
like
clearly,
it's, like it's on a megaphone or something.
Yeah.
Now there's a way to actually do that. with cell phones, I think that's what he was saying. And eventually want to maybe do that. Like, I think he was, I think he believed he put two cell phones together. You put those way out somewhere and then you call one of them.
Yeah.
Then you talk to it. I think we should try something like that. Put it in the graveyard.
So, like I was talking, like what I was getting at is this guy saw himself, you know, in the kitchen.
Right.
And it was basically, he saw himself, but he's alive. Now I heard stories about this, you know, a lot of stories about this. I heard a story about this in the reservation we live by, the one we grew up in. There was a story about, they kept seeing this little girl in the school.
Right.
And you know, there's like, you talk to a lot of people, they all say this place is haunted, you know, and we were actually trying to go and do a ghost hunt there.
Oh, right. I remember this story.
Yeah. We're trying to do a actual like paranormal investigation there. And we were actually offered the keys and everything, but there was a new principal there.
Yeah, this was years ago.
Yeah. And a new principal came and he didn't want that. He said it was bad for business. And so he didn't want anybody doing that.
What a douchebag. Yeah, Crow school principal.
Yeah.
Douchebag.
He basically,
just kidding. He's probably like
cool the way dude. He said it, like, the way it was worded when I was relayed the message was, everybody already knows, you know, it is, but they don't want to put that out there.
Right.
Because they're afraid that nobody's going to want their kids at the school.
That's a dumb way to think. It's like these kids, God, it's like, I don't know. I'm not going to get into it.
No.
Bad for business. How exactly? Like they're going to get all kids. These unenrolled of yeah, kids like
disenrolling and going to a different school
who live in your town.
Yeah.
And you have a school and all of a sudden they're going to travel 12 something miles to go to school.
I did.
That's so stupid.
But there was a story about this little girl. Mm-hmm. They kept seeing this little girl and somebody finally recognized her and they looked her up in the yearbook and they found her picture.
Oh, right.
And it turned out this person wasn't even dead. This person was alive. And they took this this picture to the person and showed her and told her everything. And after
that, she was an old woman.
She was an old woman. And after they did that, they never seen her there again.
And she was, not only that, she was standing next to her granddaughter.
Yeah.
Who was in that picture.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so weird.
I know. It's a weird story.
I didn't remember that until now. It's holy crap.
This is what I mean. This is what I'm getting at. Like, that's why it, like I was getting at ghosts of the living.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to tell you to look that up.
So that's the theory I was just talking about is I was just listening to a podcast today is they believe there's a theory out there. They believe that you can have a ghost,
mm-hmm.
but it's just an extension of your consciousness in another area. So okay. It's like, maybe if you're thinking about that area or something, then you appear there. And that's
weird.
Yeah, it's like a weird thing. But it's like you're... So there's this medium. Her name's Amy Allen.
Yeah.
She's a medium. And she had this case of where she was investigating this house, and she said there was this dark spirit there. And she said she couldn't get close, or she couldn't get him to talk. Or no, he was cursing at her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Cussing at her and whatnot, telling her to leave the house and everything. She said he was a really, really dark entity. But she said, now this guy, she said he did something really dark. He had to have killed someone in the house or something. And come to find out, she, at the end of her investigation, she says that she doesn't believe this guy is dead.
He's alive.
Yeah, he's alive. She said he was here, but it's like he's not, like his, it's just his.
So basically he had all these high negative emotions that he almost imprinted that on the building.
Right. And she had a sketch artist draw him out, and her partner is investigating this, non-paranormal. Like he's investigating the whole story and everything and interviews, and he goes to the prison of the guy who actually committed the murder there. And it's the same guy. He has a picture of him. He brings it to the table and they bring out her sketch of the guy. And then he's like dumbfounded. He's like, holy crap. He's like, he says he doesn't believe in this, but he says when she does stuff like this,
yeah,
he said there's no way. And then that he brings out his picture. And it's same thing, same person.
Yeah. Now, when I was talking about Edison's spirit phone and spirit boxes or the black cube or the black black cube, mm-hmm. I was listening to this podcast while I was working, and this guy was talking about how he used to work with radios and stuff when he was in the military.
Right.
And he used like tinfoil and all this other stuff trying to send a signal out. And he sent a signal out, and they sat there and waited. They waited for about, I think, an hour. And finally they started hearing something come back in, and he heard his own voice repeat everything he just said.
Okay, so that was
almost like it was an echo, like it went out and then it came right back.
That's reminiscent of what happened to Tesla,
mm-hmm.
testing out his spirit phone.
Yeah.
As he was also hearing his own voice come back.
Yeah.
Within an hour.
But it was so delayed. It was way later.
But back then, it's like how many satellites were up?
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah. That was loud.
It was loud. We have an AC like behind our green screen.
Behind the magic.
But, oh, look it. And here comes Peanut with her little feet.
Clicking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, what I was getting at was maybe some of this is just something like that, you know?
Right.
Like, delayed. All these delayed voices, or even all these people seeing ghosts and stuff. They're literally seeing ghosts of the living. They're not dead. They're alive.
I believe it.
You think a lot of that is?
Yeah, but then again, it's like there has to... Well, ghost for me is a very hard subject.
Yeah.
Because for a majority of my beliefs is it's mostly demons.
Yeah, demonic.
Demonic. It's like no matter what you're seeing, it's...
What is mimicking somebody?
Yeah, it's a demon. It's not a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my upbringing. It's But when we get to the podcast, it's like I have to investigate all these other theories. It's like I can't just be solely
sided and like saying, no, this is this, this is this, this is this. Like a lot of people ask us questions or write in or even give us stories, and we have to like investigate it from their point of view,
right,
as well as our own.
And we can't just draw our own philosophies onto these stories or hauntings.
Yeah.
It's like we have to bring in all these other theories and things to try to explain certain things. It's like when someone gives us a story, we're not going to look at it and be like, oh, that's a demon. It's not as severe as it goes. It's a demon.
Yeah.
Or your beliefs are wrong. It's like it's not a correct way to summarize what's happening to them. It's like you have to bring all these theories to the table. And that's basically how we try to take the podcast. It's like we try to investigate these theories. And for that moment in the podcast, it's truth.
Yeah.
It's like we investigate and do the rest of the podcast under that theory.
Yeah.
To see how things play out. And a lot of times it turns out really cool.
Yeah, it does. So, now you made me forget what the hell I was going to say. Okay. Now I was trying to talk to you, like I told you to look into this too, was astral projection,
mm-hmm.
lucid dreaming, all that kind of stuff. And I was telling you that I think that a lot of people that believe that they were lucid dreaming were actually astral projecting.
Okay, so astral projecting is basically an outer body experience, right?
Yeah.
So do you also believe in, like, teleportation?
How so? Like, your physical body?
Yeah.
No.
That happened in the Bible with the prophets.
Then, wow.
Then, yes.
Then, absolutely.
But I forgot how the story
is. How though? Like, how exactly? Like, was it physical form?
Yes, I believe that I have to look it up again, but the essence of it is they couldn't travel these great distances. Mm-hmm. So when a scholar's looking at a timeline of a prophet, and for some reason he's able to jump from here to here within a couple verses or so timelines.
Yeah.
Or within the same timeline. Because if you look at the Bible, there's a lot of these same accounts.
Yeah.
These same authors explaining the same account. So you have these two different stories of the same story, and they're explaining two different locations. But for some reason, this person is jumping from here to here within that storyline.
Yeah.
And it's like, how does that work? And then there's all these other stories of actually them teleporting inside of the Bible. It's like a weird thing.
Yeah.
And there's actually a minister, and
so you don't think it's actually basically like I've heard, like you've seen in the Bible, like Paul,
right?
Take Paul for example.
Mm.
He, when he went to heaven,
mm-hmm.
that was basically almost like astral projecting.
Right.
His spirit went to heaven, but his body stayed here.
Right.
But he even explained that it was so real that he wasn't sure if his body was there or not. Now, I just listened to a story about a guy who died. He was actually dead for about 30 to 45 minutes. Now, if you're dead for about 6 minutes, I think you're basically mostly brain dead. And you're after that 7 minutes, you're basically gone. You're like a vegetable. Right. This guy was dead for 45 minutes about. And he said the second he died, he descended. He was falling.
Wow.
And he ended up in hell. And he said that he was standing by the lake of fire. And he said he looked up and he just saw thousands of people falling.
Crazy.
Constantly. Because all these people are just dying one after another like that. And just they're just falling and mm-hmm. falling. And he can hear people in the distance being tortured.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he looked over and maybe, you know, not even 10, 20 feet away, he said he saw the devil. And he said he was in the form of a man.
Right.
And he said he was accusing him of all these things. He was yelling these things at him, basically making him feel like you deserve to be here. But he wasn't coming near him.
Oh, strange.
He couldn't. And he said that he looked into the lake of fire and he saw all these people burning, but they couldn't die. And he said this light came down around him, and he said the devil was trying to get to him, but he couldn't. And all the people that were in the lake of fire were yelling at him for help because they saw this light around him, and they thought he could help them.
Right.
And he said in literally a split second, he felt himself flying straight up. Now, he didn't go back into his body. He went to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was in heaven, and he said it was more real than it was when he was alive. He could sense everything. He could feel everything. He didn't have to turn around and look. He knew what was there. He could almost see like 360 around him because he was total spiritual and total spiritual form.
Strange. Yeah.
And he said everything, you know, was so vibrant. He said there was colors there that you don't see on Earth. He said like everything was alive, and he basically, that was considered like, you know, an astral projection. You know, your spirit is out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes back to his body, and you know, he's alive now. You know, he's living, he's walking, he's talking. He said he had to kind of learn how to do these things again. It took a while, but he's basically back into doing his everyday thing, but just a little differently.
Weird.
But that was basically what I'm getting at is Paul did the same thing. He right. went to heaven. And he said the same thing. It was so real. He couldn't tell if it was his body there or his spirit there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I talk to you about lucid dreaming, astral projecting, all of that, do you think some of these people that they're seeing are people astral projecting?
Oh, possibly.
And they're not a ghost. They're not a spirit. But they're not like a spirit of the living, but they're somebody astral projecting, which is kind of a ghost of the living.
Or it could also, it's like a dreamwalker.
Yeah.
It's like, are they also astral projecting?
Yeah, that's basically what they do.
It's like, because they can control their dreams. And they can walk freely.
Which is lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, are they under the same element
yeah.
of like living when they're sleeping?
Yeah. So the reason why I wanted to bring this up was because I heard a story about somebody who would always lucid dream. He can control his dreams. He can go out. He could do things. He said that he can basically almost like fly. He said it felt like he was flying. Now, you can only do that in a spiritual form.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, he said that he had sleep paralysis for a moment. He was trying to wake up. And he opened his eyes and he could barely move his head. Like he's trying to move himself awake. Anybody that had sleep paralysis understands how this feels. You can barely even move, but you're aware of everything around you.
Right.
Now, he never claimed that he astral projected. He always had lucid dreams. He opened his eyes and he saw his hands going into his hands.
Oh, weird.
So his hands were on his chest like this.
Mm-hmm.
And when he opened his eyes, he saw his hands going back into his body.
Weird.
So now he believes that maybe he was astral projecting. Maybe that's what lucid dreaming really is.
It would frustrate me because I'd be spending my whole life trying to do it again. You know, I told this ghost story. It was not a ghost story, but it's like a weird thing that happened when I was little. It's how I knew I had the birthmark on my back.
Yeah, I remember you telling that. Now, that is ugly because I hate things that have to do with mirrors.
Yeah, it's like I was jumping in the bed when I was little, and I had my shirt off, and I was just in trunks, and I was jumping back and forth, and when I jumped this way and jumped back, I was facing the mirror, but I just saw my back facing that's the other so way.
Strange.
And that's how I knew I had the birthmark.
Yeah.
And then I jumped back.
How long does that go?
Oh, geez, I don't know. God, I hope it's not. I don't know when our video ended there.
But you just saw a lot of pretty pictures and videos.
It's like we usually set a timer.
Yeah, we do. But we just got so into it.
Okay, so I had a story where I was jumping back and forth, saw my back.
Yeah.
And for the longest time through my childhood, I tried to make that happen again.
Why?
Because
if I saw that, I would have jumped off the bed and ran out of the room. Because I would have known what was going on.
I wasn't freaked out by it, but I remember trying to make it happen, and I just kept doing it, and it wouldn't happen again. Yeah. And I also had a dream about having this book, and the helicopter flew out of it.
That is weird.
And then when I woke up, I got that book, and I tried to show Mom, like, look, what's going to happen, and it wouldn't happen for me.
That's weird. Sounds like a child imagination. Imagination. I can't even talk tonight.
I'll never forget those. Yeah. So we had basically a grandmother who basically astral projected.
In a spiritual way, yeah.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know the story of my grandparents, is they were both ministers.
They're ministers, evangelists, pastors.
And they traveled all over the U.S.
Yep.
Into Canada and things of that nature. I don't know if they went anywhere else, but they're doing these for years. They met all sorts of cool people like Shambach and well-renowned ministers,
prophets, apostles.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they started more than 5 churches around the U.S. And they had this story of where my grandfather goes into this house to pray with his family. Because this is basically what they do. Is like if there's a family out there, they go there.
Needs help, you know. Or
they'll go there, sit with them, talk with them, and they'll pray over their house, pray with them. They'll have a meal with them, things of that nature.
Yeah.
So at this time, my grandma's they're in this place, and my grandpa has to go out and meet this family. And she can't go because she's sick at the time, I think. And she stays home. He says, okay, stay home. And he said, but I want you to pray the entire time. He says, starting now, like, get on your knees and pray by the bed. And he left her in that state. She's by the bed and she's praying. It's like at that moment.
Yeah.
And he gets in the house and he goes through the house and they're bringing him through all these rooms. And he's praying. And he gets done upstairs. I think that's how the story went. And he's leaving the room and he notices one of the guys standing by the door waiting with the door open. And then he leaves the room and then the guy waits for a second, then shuts the door and goes downstairs. And they have all these, let's just say for the sake of the story, there's 5 people there, including him, but they had the sixth plate set at the table for a meal. And they sit down at the table, my grandpa included. And he asked them, he says, well, who are we waiting for? Because he already said grace.
Yeah.
And they said, your wife. And he said, my wife's not here. She's at home or at the, wherever they're staying. And they told him that through the whole time he was at that house, she was there with him praying.
Yeah.
Through every room.
Every room that he walked in, every place that he went to in the house, she was next to him praying. That's what they saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so strange.
It is. That's what I mean. It's just, it's...
And it's basically astral projecting. It's like, that's...
Yeah, like a spiritual sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do you explain that?
She also had a story of when she was in the hospital, and this kind of gets in line with different realities jumping into each other. And this is what I believe what might have happened is she was in the hospital. She was in bad condition.
Yep.
And they had her sedated, and she said, she was telling my mom, she said, this medicine she gave me, she said, opened up that realm. And she's a spiritual person, so she knows what that realm is.
Yeah.
And she says it basically unveiled our realm from the other one, from the spiritual realm. And she says she was sitting on her bed, and this nurse comes in, and my grandma drops her chapstick on the floor, and it rolls almost to the door. This nurse comes in, but she says this nurse didn't look like the other ones. She had, like, the old school nurse outfit, like the weird little, like, dress.
Yeah, and the little, almost like paper hats.
Yeah. And this nurse came in, but she didn't have anything in her hands, but it looked like she was scooping something up into, like, a basket.
Yeah.
As she said, she was grabbing stuff and, like, putting it into a basket. And grandma said, she says, can you help me? And can you get that chapstick for me? And the lady notices that she's talking to her, and she looks up at her at the bed, and all she does is go like that. And then she disappears.
That is strange.
And she says stuff like that was happening to her. And also she said she believed she saw the death angel.
Mm-hmm.
But he was lurking, but he would only stay in the corners and he wouldn't come near her. She said it was like he was scared.
Yeah.
He was in the room, but he wouldn't.
Trying to find the farthest point away from her.
Yeah.
In the room.
It was like he was put there, but he almost like he was placed there.
Yeah.
Like you go here, and he was placed basically with something he was scared of.
Yeah.
And he couldn't reach her, couldn't go near her.
Yeah.
The same time happened as where she's praying in the room and nurses come in and they start weeping because she's praying over the room.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that were happening in that room. It's like, how do you explain these things?
Yeah.
To someone who doesn't, you can't say understand because it's not a word you use when you're talking about things like this.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't understand.
Because nobody on this earth really fully understands.
Right. Fully understands. Yeah. Understands. Yeah. Marcus in a Zach Bagans shirt.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's like when you're talking to somebody who doesn't understand or who doesn't believe in this, you don't use those words like, oh, you don't understand. It's like, I understand.
You don't get it.
Yeah, it's like, you don't get it. I get it. It's like, you can't use those words. It's like, especially when, because we talk to especially people who don't believe in these things. And it's like,
no, I know a lot of people. Like, I mean, I'm friends with, ministers, preachers, apostles, prophets.
Yeah.
And I also know people that are atheists, people that are Luciferian, people that don't believe in this stuff. You know, I talk to like all these people, and they all, even like Luciferians, they even say, no, we believe, you know, I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that, but this is just what I believe.
You know, Masons.
Yeah. I know Masons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know like an array of different types of people.
Right.
And they all basically just tell you what they believe, you know, and you don't like try not to preach at them, you know, just kind of talk to them like, well, what do you believe? This is how you believe this or this. This is what I believe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have conversations like that with people all the time, the people that listen to the podcast, people that comment and write us on the pages or even talk to us on the in the comments on the videos and stuff.
And we're in contact with like people who are palm readers and things like that. We converse with them because I believe they can lend some sort of expertise to the things we're talking about.
Yeah. Like when it comes to that, like I have my own belief. Like I believe that, you know, people do have gifts. Like I believe that God gives people gifts, but you know, he doesn't take them away from you.
Right.
You know, basically, it's written in the Bible that he's not going to take these gifts away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, like put it like this. Like he gives you a gift and basically says, okay, now show me what you're going to do with it. And I believe that's what a lot of these people that are palm readers or people that are claim to be psychic or who are psychic, this is what they did with their gift.
Right.
Now you have all these other people that are, you know, they go the route, they try to draw closer to God and they use that, you know, and they try to draw closer to God and to strengthen that gift.
Right.
And use that to help, you know, what they believe God wants them to do.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe as well.
Okay.
Right. But it's like when you're talking about these things, you don't use those words. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because it's like you're being confrontational using those words.
Yeah. It's like you're almost like you're, it's like you say that to somebody, you can start an argument.
Right? Yeah, you don't understand.
No, you don't get it. But it's no, like, you're not understanding what I'm saying. You don't understand this. Like, you know, people that come out and say that to you, you're going to be like, no, I do understand, you know.
And I believe us as well. It's like no matter of our experiences, there's always going to be something we do not understand.
Fully understand.
Like we can't explain it in any words. With whatever we do, we just cannot explain it.
Yeah.
There's just things that happen where you just don't know. Especially with like astral projection, ghost sightings, how we contact the dead and things of that nature.
It's like what you understand is basically what we understand on Earth.
Right.
And on our earthly realm.
So it's like, now I know that all these scientists especially are looking at this spirit phone.
Yeah.
And they can't understand how it works. Like, yeah. How does that...
Like, there was some scientist who claimed that Edison reached out to me and told me, this is the formula to make the spirit phone.
Yeah.
Now go make it. And it didn't work. And, oh, yeah, okay, here's the real formula.
Yeah.
Like, a couple other scientists said that, hey, you reached out to us again, and you told us this is the real formula how to make the spirit phone.
Right.
Like, and it didn't work.
But I think that I was telling Mark as well, it's like, we have to start doing these investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And not go into them.
I know there's a lot of things that are real out there.
Yeah.
You know, we've experienced them. You know, we've witnessed. I've, like myself, witnessed what people call exorcisms.
Right.
I witnessed countless.
Right.
You know, I can't even count how many I've seen. You know, and not a lot of people are exposed to that.
Right.
So sometimes some people, you know, witness that for the first time and it scares the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Or they don't understand it. You know, I actually just had the conversation earlier today about that kind of stuff.
We were a part of one 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like that recent. Like, we've experienced this and we're always there present in the room.
Yeah. Is that still going?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know there's, you know, like what I believe are familiar spirits or demons. I believe they can mess with you. Mm-hmm. They can taunt you. They can haunt a place, basically. Like, we, you know, look into this stuff. We investigate this stuff. It's always been something that we were interested in, you know, growing up, you know, looking at ghost videos, wanting to do ghost hunts, paranormal investigations on our own.
Right.
We've always wanted to do this stuff. I remember growing up watching, you know, Scariest Places on Earth. And wanting to do that. I remember even talking to one of my uncles saying, hey, I'm going to sign us up. We're going to do this.
Right.
And I was like, I was young, but I was all for it. I was like, hell yeah, let's do this. And, you know, we went out with some friends and they took us on their paranormal investigation. We got to see, like, you know, how they did their thing and all that.
Mm.
So, you know, we kind of got a feel for that kind of stuff. And so we know, like, you know, this stuff works.
Mm.
You know, this stuff, you know, happens. You know, we've seen things ourselves. Mm-hmm. I even have, you know, a picture of something we caught that wasn't there.
Right.
And, you know, we have all these experiences ourselves of these things happening. I mean, our own brother, his place is so what you would call haunted.
Yeah.
It's just ugly. So, yeah, I believe, like, you know, these things can mess with you. They can torment you. They can haunt you. But what I believe it is demonic.
Right.
That's just what I believe. Now, I got to go to one of the places I've always wanted to go to this past weekend.
All right.
The Zach Bagans Haunted Museum.
Yeah.
And going in there, I was excited as hell, you know, like I wanted to see all this stuff, you know, there's especially like Bela Lugosi's mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Dybbuk box and all these things I wanted to see.
Ed Gein's cauldron,
you know.
Kevorkian.
Since we were, like, looking into serial killers and all that, I got to actually see their things.
Right.
Like, you know, Ted Bundy's section, you know, Gacy's section, you know, all these people.
The actual murder kit.
their murder kits, everything. Even, you know, there was some horrific stuff in this museum.
Right.
Like how he acquired this stuff. I was just blown away.
I don't get it.
There was stuff in there I didn't even know he had. There's 30 rooms in this building. And it's just dark. It is insane. It's creepy. Now, my wife, she was fighting me. She did not want to go to this place because she doesn't like that kind of stuff. She hates it. She'll watch, you know, the shows. She'll watch, you know, Ghost Adventures and stuff with me or Scary Movies. But she doesn't want to go out and do that kind of stuff. So when we do stuff like that, she's like, "You're stupid, idiot." I'm like, "Yeah, I probably am, but it's something that interests me."
I mean, if I told Alethea, like, I have to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other
way. You gotta put it out there that, hey, this is real.
Yeah. It's like how I am with business. It's like, I have to do it.
Yeah.
If I don't do it, I'm gonna be a miserable person.
Yeah.
Like, I told her, if we ever go to Paris and the catacombs are there.
Yeah.
I said, "God, do not take me to Paris, because I'm gonna find a way.
I'm gonna get lost.
I'm gonna find a way to get down there."
So I went in this place knowing what, you know, something being haunted is capable of.
Right.
So I knew that something might happen going into these places.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sarah, she's like, you know, she already knew, like, okay, you step foot in this place, you're probably gonna set things off because of how I am. And she was already prepared for that.
Right.
And she said, "I know, you know, these things are probably going to try to mess with you." And so she didn't want to go.
Especially doing something like this, where we're airing to thousands of people.
Yeah.
And we're exposing these things, basically.
Yeah. So she agreed to go because this is the one thing I really wanted to do when we went to Vegas.
Right.
So she agreed to go. And her mom actually went in with us, you know, to a few of the rooms. And I actually went into the doll room, you know. The one where he has all the haunted dolls.
Right.
And where Annabelle sat. Annabelle was there.
Right.
And I remember looking back on this episode because I wanted to see what they said. And I felt literally exactly what they described. I walked into the middle of this room and I stood and it felt like I was holding a live wire. My whole body was just, it felt strange. Electric.
Right.
Is the only word I can think of. It felt electric. It felt like my whole body was just, you know, throbbing with energy.
Right.
And it just weirded me out. Like, I thought it was strange, but it didn't scare me. You know, I wasn't afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walked out and we wandered around. We checked all these places out and we went to another room where there was some haunted dolls. One of them was from the Holocaust. And there was another one that had to do with a horrific murder. There was still bloodstains and brain matter on the dress.
That's so crazy.
And he said when they brought this doll in, they automatically caught something on their cameras. You know, the camera that maps them out? It looks like a stick figure.
Right, like the, what, kinetic?
Yeah. There was
is that what it's called?
It looked like a child in there. They caught it. And we were standing there, and I was listening to the tour guide to talk to us. She was standing behind me. You know, there's a doorway behind me. Everybody was in the room, and she was standing behind me talking. And she stopped talking. And then I felt her go like this. So I thought she wanted to tell me something. So I turned to see what she wanted, and there was nobody behind me.
Oh, that's scary.
And this is a matter of seconds. She grabbed my arm. I felt somebody grab my arm. I turned to look. Nobody. I turned back, and she was over there on the other side of the room. There was nobody around me.
Oh, weird.
And then something grabbed my leg.
Oh, yeah.
Like something pulled my pants. So I was like, okay, there's things in this building.
That's so weird.
This isn't fake.
I mean, this is real. This is a place where they're doing rituals and things of that nature.
Yeah, even Bloody Mary did rituals in the basement.
Right.
Which has always been off limits to people. You're not allowed to go in the basement. There's like 12 locks on the door.
Yeah.
And when I was there, they were doing
Michael Jackson's door.
When I was there doing...
Poor taste, I'm sorry.
Touring this place.
Yeah.
They were doing a test trial.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go to the basement with a spirit box.
Oh, it's awesome.
And it was crazy. That thing was going bananas. Like the second we walked downstairs, it was me and two other people. We barely walked downstairs and we hear hello right away. And I was like, you guys heard that, right? And these guys were like, oh, yeah, they're talking like they're like, oh, we're big fans of the show, you know, and this and that. And we got down there. He's like, so what's this thing? I'm like, you don't know what a spirit box is?
Are you serious?
I looked at him and I was like, have you ever watched any, you know, ghost, you know, a paranormal investigation type show? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're big fans of the show. They just only kept saying, like, you don't know what a spirit box is. That's like, one of the most common things used in...
Yeah, it's like their starter kit. You get a spirit box.
Yeah, it's just like it's basically in your starter kit. And they didn't know what that was. I explained to them what the spirit box is, how it's used. I even told them the story, like when we heard your name said on a spirit box.
Oh, that was freaking weird.
And it wasn't, you know, your real name. It was your nickname that everybody calls you, C-Dow.
Yeah.
I told him that, and this guy says, well... You know, what's my name? He says that, and he kind of laughed, and we heard it answer.
And that was
one. And his eyes got big. He's just, he looked over and he looked at each other. And at me. I told you, you know, this is like basically an electronic Ouija board. Mm-hmm. You talk to it and it answers. You know, I told him that. And I was down there for a while, and it felt like we were down there 2 minutes, literally 2 minutes. And I make my way out, and I thought I heard wings over me, almost sound like a pigeon. I was like, I heard it right over my head.
Oh, weird.
I was like, what the hell was that? I was kind of looking, and I walked out, and they were looking at me funny. And I was like, you know, what's wrong? And we were down there so long that they had the radio in to see if we were okay.
Weird.
It felt like we were there 2 minutes. We walked downstairs. I explained what this thing does. They asked a question, and I walked out that fast. I wasn't down there that long. They said that they had to call in and check the cameras because we were down there for about 25 minutes.
Holy crap.
And their exact words was, they're all intact.
Oh my God.
Making sure none of us passed out or one of us is flipping out or anything like that. And they made sure we're all okay. And so, like, you know, strange things like this was happening there.
Right.
Even something grabbed Sarah's leg.
Oh, God. And
she was wearing leggings. You know, all the women that listen to, you know how those are, you know.
More than half our listeners are women.
Yeah, so just talking to you ladies. It's basically skin tight on your legs.
Right.
And she felt it pull away from her leg and
touch her leg. Oh, man, it's freaking hard to do.
Yeah. And she felt that in the room with Ed Gaines stuff.
Oh, yuck. And that's his forte.
Yeah.
Women.
So, like, you know, it was a lot of activity in this building.
Right.
And we made our way to the most haunted item in the world, the Dybbuk box.
You got
to
tell her that.
Yeah.
You had a mom problem. He did.
I know.
And that was his thing. It was a dark-haired woman he would always go for.
Yeah. Ugh. If I tell her that would really creep her out. She's gonna hate that.
Oh, it's so crazy.
But yeah, like we made our way to the Dybbuk box, and this is one thing that I really wanted to see. And you go into this room, and there's a TV there, and you see footage of all the bad things that happened, that people who saw this, you know, what happened to them,
right?
How it affected them. There was people getting taken out on stretchers. We saw all this footage. People going down on the stairs and the stretchers and everything, paramedics there, people fainting. You saw all the footage of Post Malone, what happened to him,
right?
And how he believes he was cursed after seeing it. So, like, I was like, I got to see this thing. So Sarah, she knows. She's like, this is the one thing I am not going to see. And so I walk in and I walk around. You know, I see the Dybbuk box in the middle of this room, and I walk up to the front of it. And I'm looking at it, and I start walking around to the back of it. And when I start walking to the back of it, it felt like my feet were magnetic to the ground. I could barely pick them up. I was like, I was struggling to pull my feet up and walk, and it would slam on the ground like this.
No, I had a similar experience with, I was 18 years old, and I was working at Pizza Hut. And I was a waiter, because I had the good looks. Anyways, they put me as a waiter. And because she's such a, like, the lady's, like, my personality there, the boss, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I can talk to people and whatnot. And I was like, okay. And one of my first days there, these two guys walked in, and they were like, Middle Eastern. Yeah. And they had the head, was it turban? and these guys had nice jewelry on. I mean, they were dressed up, but they had their long gowns on that they wear. And they smelled strong, like it wasn't perfume. It was like, it's like how you would characterize how the royals used to bathe themselves back then.
Okay, yeah.
Like they used berries and crap like that. It was strong, but it was like, it smelled like perfume.
Frankincense and
yeah.
Murder.
Yeah, it was like that. And I was walking up to them, and the strange thing about them was one of them was an all black and the other one was an all white.
Okay.
And they both had nice jewelry on. And I remember their order because they both wanted nothing but jalapenos on their purses. And as I was going,
just marinara cheese and jalapenos.
Yeah. They gave me that table, and I see those two men sitting there. I was like, okay, cool. And I walk over there, and as soon as I could smell their scent, I was about 10 feet from them.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was falling into the ground.
That's
when
strange.
I was walking to them. And I told one of our prophet's friends this too, and he says he believes I was feeling what was on them.
Yeah.
And he said it wasn't God.
Yeah.
And I was walking to them, and that's all I can feel is like I felt real numb, and I felt like I was falling or sinking into the ground like quicksand while I was walking to them. And I maintained my composure. I got to their table, and it still felt like I was like sinking talking to them.
That's strange.
And I asked them to order, and they wanted jalapenos on their pizza. I walk away from them, and after that, it was like it was normal.
Yeah.
Nothing else happened. But with those two men, out of everyone I've ever met, those two men, don't know their names or anything, but those guys had the weirdest.
Yeah, it's like what I'm kind of getting at is, if something demonic or dark is attached to something, it can affect you.
Right.
In really bad ways.
And I've talked to prophets about this as well, as they deal with this demons and all of these things. And it's like, you have headaches.
Yeah.
You get sicknesses, your stomach hurts, things of that nature. It's like, did you hear that?
I heard that.
What did it sound like?
I don't even want to say what's the time on that. An
hour and 6 seconds. It sounded like a man.
An hour and 6 minutes. It did.
It's like, rrr.
That was strange. So an hour and 6 minutes. We'll look at that later.
Okay.
Okay, keep going.
Anyways, I was on a phone conference, and he was talking about how you don't hear prophets or preachers talk about this stuff, demons.
Yeah.
And he says you'll have these, it'll affect your body and things of that nature. And that was my question. I was like, how does it affect your body? I know how it affects everything else. You can have sicknesses, you can have emotional problems, depression, anger problems, things of that nature when a demon's present or you have an attachment. And he was telling me that it'll affect your body in ways like headaches. You'll have things like dizziness and things of that nature, headaches. You can have body aches. You'll have stomach problems, especially. Like, you'll feel like you have to eat or something, or you have to drink something, or take a Tums or something. It's like, because this is basically where they say your spirit is.
Yeah.
And when you're near a demon or something, your spirit's, their philosophy is like, it knows it's something's wrong.
Senses.
Right. And it's like, I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah.
You can sense these things, and that's how it affects you.
Right. Yeah. And I believe that's basically what was happening. Like, I can sense that.
Yeah. No, I've had encounters like that too.
Right.
Now, when I was there and I started walking behind this Dybbuk box, my feet felt like I was trying to pick my feet up on, you know, when you ride like the Gravitron or you ride like the Kamikaze or the Ring of Fire and you try to pick your feet up when you're going down the G-force.
Right.
That's how it felt.
Or the UFO thing.
Yeah, and I couldn't, but that's the Gravitron.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. What is it called then? It's like 10,000 or something, or 1,000. What is it?
that's what it's called then. So like, I felt like I was magneted to the floor. I didn't say anything, you know, I just kept walking, and I stood there and I looked at the back of this thing, and I walked around it, and the second I walked around it, you know, there was writings on the back in Latin. And the second I walked away from that, my feet were fine. I could walk normal.
Of the Latin.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like when you walk around and see that.
Yeah.
It's probably like once you see it.
Yeah.
Whatever, if it's like a spell or something, then it's like it's working now.
Yeah. And, you know, I went and looked at, he has two Dybbuk boxes. And I went and looked at another one, you know, that he had. That thing was coded in what they had, the, what is that called? The Ark of the Covenant basically made out of the same thing.
Right. And the Dybbuk?
No, this his other Dybbuk box.
Okay.
He has two. And, you know, he looked at this stuff, and that's, I had to catch my flight, so this is the last room I got to be in and see.
How many rooms did you get to see in there?
Me? I went to 28.
Wow, you at least got through the whole. Yeah.
So I got to 28 rooms, and it was crazy. And there's one other thing that really kind of...
I would have ran to the other rooms, ran to leave.
There's one other thing that affected me in a weird way, is we were in the serial killer room. And I went and I was looking at Manson stuff and Gacy stuff and, you know, all these other people. And I walked up to the glass that had all of Ted Bundy stuff in it.
Right. And this is above the pentagram room below in the basement.
Yep. And the second I walked up to the glass and I looked at his ski mask that he wore when he killed these people, the second I walked up to the glass, my mouth started watering really bad. I started feeling dizzy and I felt like I was going to throw up. I was just looking at a ski mask.
Weird.
And it was like my mouth was watering horribly. And I didn't say anything because I didn't want to, like, oh, you got to get out of here.
I mean, this man was notorious.
Mm-hmm.
He once twisted a girl's neck so bad.
Yep.
Where it was only hanging on by the skin.
Yeah. And he was ruthless, like That's a lot crazy. Of them were. Now, Zach Bagans, the reason why he has his stuff there is because he feels like they were possessed by demons.
Right.
You know, you can't do something like that, you know, unless there's something really dark attached to you. This is what he believes.
Right.
So he believes that it's demonic. And this is why he has their stuff there, because he feels like there's that attachment to it. Mm-hmm. And he wants that in his, you know, museum, you know. So that's what he believes. And it did. It affected me in a weird way. And the second I walked away from that glass, I was fine. It was gone.
Strange.
My mouth wasn't watering. I didn't feel like I was going to throw up. I felt fine. And just to see how it was, I walked back to that glass again and looked at everything and nothing. I didn't feel a thing. So it's weird, you know, like all these experiences in that building.
Right.
Like where all these most haunted things are in, you know, just how different things can affect you, feeling the different energies between these things and what these things are, you know, attached to them. It's strange. It is. It's really strange.
That is strange.
But I do. I feel like it's that kind of stuff is demonic.
A lot of problems.
It's not too bad, but we'll
get through it. Just so for you guys at least watching at home, you guys are basically watching us trying to work out getting more than an hour done on a podcast, which I think we should probably start doing so we can chop that crap up.
Yeah. But you're seeing a lot of imagery more than usual because the camera keeps cutting off. And then the audio might be a little wonky. We kept having to pause it. But
like, more than usual, yeah. Some might say. Some might say that's good if you think about it, look about it, and look at it.
So like what I was getting at is, you know, a lot of these things do tie together.
Right.
But a lot of it, it's unexplainable, you know. And there's a lot of people that don't want to look into something that could explain it because that goes against what they believe.
Right.
Like if they want to, you know, if they're living their life as, let's say, an atheist, they don't believe in anything. Mm-hmm. They're not going to want to look into this to explain it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's kind of, you know, a funny subject
for people. They look into it ironically.
Ironically.
Right.
You know, I met people that were atheists and they literally turned their entire life around because of something they've seen.
Right.
So then they start believing everything.
Or experienced.
Yeah. Like I've heard crazy stories, you know. So it's, you know, there's a lot more to life than just this.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is a spiritual side. Extremely spiritual.
Right.
So it is. It's life is weird.
Now, getting into this haunted museum, and I'm going to mention this a couple times going forward into the podcasts because this item that we have the opportunity visit is, so this is something that is especially along the lines of items like Annabelle, items like the Dybbuk box, is this item we're able to go meet is this could be groundbreaking. I mean, when you look at Annabelle and Lorraine Warren and how she brought that to light and it became one of her most famous investigations, this has the possibility to bring that impact to what we're doing. It's like, if we open up our investigations and we open up with that thing, it's going to be insane.
At first I was like, wow, I don't know if I want to see this thing, but it's like the curiosity in me was like, I have to see this thing.
Right. And what I'm about to explain to you guys, this is something that I had no idea still existed. Yeah. I've heard stories about it being with my wife and had no idea that this thing was not only existed, but within 50 miles of us.
Yeah.
And it's, so there's this, this is a table, and I don't know how many generations it's been in her family, my wife's family, but not only that, her mom was telling me that they have a long line of people who were practicing these things, like witches and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And this table was built by a man, one of their grandfathers, and for some reason, this table has the ability to dance.
It moves.
It moves. And
levitates.
Levitates. And smokes cigarettes.
I was telling her, like, the way you try to explain that, it sounds funny, but, like, basically what they say that it would tell them, they'd ask them what this spirit or whatever it is wants.
Right.
And it would tell them tobacco. So they'd light a cigarette instead of
with
the
Ouija board.
Yeah. They'd contact something with the Ouija board. And then they'd light a cigarette and lay it on the table, and it would literally suck the cigarette down.
It's strange. Insane.
It is.
I was like, this table sounds like a good time. Something you want at a party. Dancing so, table.
When I was looking into all of this, when I was looking into the spiritual era, you know, like Ouija boards, tarot cards, and all this kind of stuff, seances around this era of, you know, Thomas Edison, Houdini. Houdini didn't believe in this stuff. He would actually cancel his own shows to go to seances to try to prove him wrong.
Right.
No, this is bull. No, this is how you do that. That's how you do that.
Yeah.
Because he tried to prove these things.
He was
wrong.
A professional illusionist.
Yeah. And so he tried to like say, oh, this is how I would do it. You know, they got to be doing it this way. So he tried to prove these people wrong. Now, these tables, I believe this is what that is. There was a certain table that they make and they'd use that at seances. They use that to practice these kind of things on. They use that table as their platform for their Ouija boards and stuff like that.
Right.
And they'd have handprints and stuff on them where you'd place your hands.
Almost like an altar.
Yeah. So basically that, I believe that's what this is.
Right. And I don't believe that was the intention of the person who built it.
Yeah. But that's what it became.
But for some reason it's become that.
Now it had so much, you know, so much stuff was done with this table and on it that it would move at night.
Yeah,
it would literally shake and rattle and dance.
And not only that, some of Alethea's family, especially talking to them on the phone, is now my main contact is through her auntie.
Yeah.
And her auntie never saw the table and she's scared of it.
She doesn't want to see it.
No, she doesn't want to see it. And she believes she might have saw it once, but she didn't want to look at it. She goes to the house and one of her uncles or someone, her relative says, you know what table that is? It was sitting on their porch, and she said nope, and walked inside. And anyways, that night she was visiting us. We had the opportunity to get in contact with this table through her, and she said, "I'll see what I can do and see if I can get you guys in contact." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I got the chills."
Now
and
this thing it would move around so much that they literally had to chain it down.
Right,
they'd have bound. To strap it down. They had to bound this thing to the ground.
Till this day,
it is in a storage unit. And it is tied down to the ground so it won't move.
Right, and the legs are bound.
Yeah.
So it can't
dance. They're bound together, yeah.
Yeah.
So this thing is literally strapped down
because and they had stories
of the activity that happens around this thing.
And the aunties have stories of this, of them, their parents or whatever, placing them on this table and it would dance.
It would.
And levitate.
Lift off the ground, it would dance, it would move.
With them on it.
With them on it.
This table is insane.
I know.
And Mark's, now, I don't know if I should mention that I want to acquire this thing. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. I want to, this table, like, I especially want to start a collection.
Yeah.
of when we start investigating these things, I want to do it systematically and have our own files on all these things so that we can go back and actually read these accounts and try to explain certain things going forward. But not only that, have items that people don't want to keep.
Yeah.
And just like how the Haunted Museum is, and how Lorraine Warren worked, is that she had these museums. And it's taken me some years for Alethea to finally open up that idea.
Yeah.
Of actually having that stuff. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. I just want to see this thing.
Yeah. And we're in talks to... Now, this is hopefully going to be airing with our Halloween Urban Legends series. And do we want to keep the name Urban Legends?
We can change it.
I think we got to
do... That was Seidel's idea, by the way. All the people that, you know, had things to say about it. I tried to explain, you know, what an urban legend is, but still they tried to argue.
Yeah. So with our Halloween series, this table is hopefully going to make its debut.
Yeah.
And
it's been in a storage for how long?
Yeah, years.
Years and years.
And
bound to the ground.
Yeah. And this is going to have its own episode. And if all goes well, we could possibly have this one air also around Halloween night or on Halloween night as well with our short horror film.
Yeah.
Double feature possibly. But this is going to be a full feature thing. We're going to go do interviews with the family.
Even film us actually
meeting it,
coming in contact with us.
Yeah. Thing. And not only that, hopefully...
Unleashing it.
Yeah. Doing... Because this is a... They used Ouija boards in this thing.
Yeah. They did a lot more than that.
And we want to do the equivalent and bring maybe our equipment with us and try to see what we can bring of this thing.
Yeah.
Bring a spirit box with us if it's possible.
Yeah.
A tape recorder, things of that nature. And see what happens at this with this table.
Yeah, see if you can catch anything.
And if possible, a Ouija board. Okay, that's it for the night. So that being said, how are you done with your any more you got?
I mean, there's a lot I really want to get into, but it's a lot. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, we can always come back to it.
Our next podcast, I think I want to jump into especially Lorraine Warren.
Yeah.
If you're into that.
Okay.
I know we wanted to do a series on aliens, but we jumped into you visited the Moss Mansion and had... Not Moss Mansion. You visited Zach Bagans Museum and had a profound experience. And I think that we should start maybe jump into those realms. Because this is everything I want to do. It's like always been ghosts and research. And that's basically what started the podcast is conspiracies and ghosts and things of nature. So we should do a whole series on possibly ghosts and whatnot.
Yeah.
And Lorraine Warren is someone to look into. Do you want to do that one?
Lorraine Warren? Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, so next podcast, we are going to be jumping into Lorraine Warren, and we'll see what we name this thing. We'll see if there's any other things she didn't release out there, if we get some new information about her that wasn't put in the movies and things of that nature. The Conjuring was based on Lorraine Warren, of course. Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Right? Yeah.
And this is going to be possibly my favorite podcast because I've always wanted to talk about her.
Yeah.
So, is that all you have to say there, Marcus?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Thinking about everything, I actually got to stand where Annabelle was.
Yeah, we heard you. So, yeah, anyways.
Just saying, I got to put that out again. So, if you want to go visit the museum, now is the time to do it because you can go to the basement.
Right.
So, yeah. And so, if anybody in that area, go check it out.
Me and Alethea, awesome. I was like, when we were sitting there, I was like, we can fly down there tonight.
And go there.
Right. Go to the museum, come back. Do a round trip, be back here within how long does it take to get there? It
takes like not even an hour and 45 minutes.
We'd be just back to fly here. Down we'd there. Be back there in the same day. Anyways, that being said, if you guys are out there watching on Facebook, make sure you visit us on the go at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at Fallen Hour Radio, on Facebook at Fallen Hour, on YouTube at Fallen Hour. God, this is so weird doing it at the end. It's like I can't get it down now.
He's so used to throwing us out in the beginning.
Yeah, so we decided to put this at the end now. So this is going to be a new thing.
Yeah.
And if you guys are out there listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, make sure you search on Facebook at Fallen Hour and on YouTube at Fallen Hour. And man, I just repeated myself again.
Yeah, you did.
Screw
but
it.
But don't just check it out. Actually, write, leave a review, leave some stars, right. You know, so we can reach more people.
On Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
and on Spotify, leave us a review. And if you guys want to get in contact with
positive us. Positive review.
And if you want to get in contact with us.
All the stars.
If you want to get in contact with us, give us a new subject matter. Maybe you have your own stories, experiences with the Zach Bagans Museum or your own experiences at your houses. Or if you have an item that you have as well.
That is haunted.
And you want to get rid of.
We'll gladly take it off your hands.
Yeah, and cover that on the podcast. Now, that being said, we also have a Patreon. That is patreon.com/fallenhour. And this is going to be something cool. We're going to be launching behind-the-scenes footage, behind-the-scenes production. I mean, if we were to do a thing about the table and we don't put certain things into...
It'll all be on Patreon.
It'll all be on Patreon.
Uncut, unedited.
Right. Like the us... talking off camera with the family, like yeah. Not actually sitting down with the interviewer, that just talking to them,
yeah,
things of that nature. That being said, I guess that's it, man. It's so weird doing it at the end. My name is Cedar Lenick. This is Marcus, and you're listening to Fallen Hour Radio.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
If you're not of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you're not welcome here.
In the middle of the night, Ghost tried to talk to me.
It's interdimensional, so we are living in a multidimensional environment.
He's bending down, doing something. He says he sees a shadow, he turns around, and there's nobody there.
The power of Christ
compels you. I want you to tell me whether you remember what happened to you when you died.
I went blind, then. I had an hemorrhage, and not been asleep, and I died. Chair in the corner downstairs.
How can we kill you, girl?
What, mate? God.